Raise your hand if you ever feel like today I'm going to say what the world needs to hear online, but then you follow the rules after all, restricting yourself from sharing your important message with the world. My guest, Abby Bradatich, brand web designer and content coach, is helping us today to show up online as our boldest selves. Welcome to the Online Business by Design podcast. I'm your host, Ivana Ivanek, and this is your mindset and marketing podcast to help you build a business next to your 9-to-5 without burning out. And most importantly, enjoying your business journey while you're making money and impact. Grab your favorite note-taking device, lean back, and get inspired. I believe that everything you need to build a business of your dreams is already within you. Welcome back, friends, to another episode of the Online Business by Design podcast. I'm your host, Ivana Ivanek, today with the amazing Abby Bradatich. We are going to cover a lot of ground today, specifically about showing up online, why so many people struggle with that, and how we generally can go about a great online presence, a great online strategy, without having to follow all these rules. Because I'm going to tell you one thing. That Instagram police we have invented doesn't exist. Hello, Abby. How are you?
Hi, thank you for having me.
I'm so excited. I have so many questions that I hope to get to ask them all. But first, let's jump right in. I'm going to ask you straightforward, like, why do you think so many women are struggling showing up as themselves online? Plus saying what I actually not just want to say, but need to say in order to stand out on the market.
Yeah, I feel like part of it is societal based where, you know, as women, we are taught to be quieter, you know, spoke when you're like only speak when you're spoken to. And like, there's a lot of those types of things. So when you go out on your own to start your business, you feel like the best way to show up online is to be, you know, quote unquote professional, like to make sure that you don't ruffle any feathers or say the wrong thing or come across the wrong way because you want people to like you. You know, often women are people pleasers. I know I am. And like, that's something we all kind of experience. And so that, I believe, is a lot of where that stems from, is this feeling like you don't want to upset anybody or say the wrong thing, or you're afraid of judgment is another big thing I hear a lot, is like people are afraid that somebody's going to think something about them, especially their personal like relationships. I find that a lot of people feel more comfortable saying what they want to say when they know their personal relationships aren't going to see it online, and like they feel like they can open up a little bit more. But often it is that like fear of judgment, that feeling of needing to say the right thing, and like who decided what the right thing was, you know?
I can relate to a few things. I think the moment when I started Online Business by Design, former Fabulous by Design podcast, I used to interview entrepreneurs too, and I wanted to know their story, why they started, and now we are speaking more in depth about topics that can help us build businesses. And first of all, I remember I was crying in front of that microphone recording my first episode, because although nobody was at home, I made sure nobody is at home. I was so freaking embarrassed. And I thought, yes, I'm going to do it on camera and it's going to be YouTube. And nothing of that really worked, because it took me, I believe, 3 days to record that 7-minute intro. But then the next step was when I passed it on to my partner for the edit. And, you know, he goes and puts on his earphones and all is going on. I'm walking around the house and he goes and he was like, I would like you to listen to this. I'm not sure about XYZ. I don't remember what that was. I heard my voice in that microphone of that computer. And he's sitting next to him. I'm like, oh my God, are you listening to this? And I think there was no bigger embarrassment at that time that I could have experienced. And I really had to work through this, because I was first of all, okay, I can't trust that person. It's my partner. It's not a random person. But I think the closer the people are, the more we think we, I don't know what we think. I have no words for it, because most of the people do not understand, obviously, what we are doing. This whole digital business thing is still so mysterious for so many. Absolutely. On the other hand, I think we should trust our closest people, but I would like to know from you, like, how did you overcome this yourself?
Yeah, I definitely felt that as well in terms of showing up online. I remember when I first started my business and my first social media post, and I'm like sitting in the car with my sister, and I was like, I'm so nervous to post this. And it was like, there's no reason to be this scared, but I was just like so nervous to put myself out there. And I will say, for the first like year at least, and even still now, I'm like working through this in terms of like feeling comfortable, like getting content around my family and my partner, and like not being like, oh, I don't want them to see me videoing this and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. It just, 'cause I guess, I think there's this, silly idea that we all think that people think we look silly, or like we're vain, or we're trying to be an influencer by doing that, or like by capturing video content or recording a video in front of someone and talking to people online. Like, it feels like, yeah, kind of like a silly concept if you really think about it, and until you really get into it. And so I have always found like I was more open to like recording and showing up and talking to people who were also business owners. And so still to this day, like it's harder for me to talk to my family about it or want to do things around them. My partner is has started his own like online business, so he understands a lot more. So that helped me, I think, become more comfortable doing things around him. But like even my sister, when I started my podcast in December, she was like, is it so weird to listen to your voice back? And I was like, no, it's not. Like, I am comfortable with that now because I've done all of this work leading up to that point of like just being scared or feeling dumb or whatever, and just doing it anyway. And it's really about like taking that imperfect action is what's really helped me, because I'm also like, recovering perfectionist, which I feel like a lot of business owners are. And so that fear of getting it wrong or like wanting it to be perfect often slows people down. It makes them not want to do it. And then add all the limiting beliefs, the judgment, all of that stuff on top of it. Like, there's so many things that can be holding you back. And so the more I like let go of that and just was like, I'm just gonna try and I'm just gonna do it. And like, if people think I'm silly, then it is what it is, because at least I feel like I'm doing something that feels good for me. And so that's what I always focus on with like my clients and with content, is like not worrying about what the rest of the world is trying to tell you to do, and just genuinely creating stuff that feels good to you, because it's going to come across a bit, lot better. It's going to work a lot better with your audience if you're comfortable and they can feel that energy. And so the more like, yes, like trying new things is great, but it's also helpful to do things that feel good too.
I can relate to this. I had recently a little identity crisis, if you want, when I started public speaking last year, November, and I admire my speaking mentor and the woman who has taught me to speak, Tricia Brooke. And she has a specific way of showing up. She always looks so straight in the camera. She always sits straight up. She doesn't move her head. I mean, she has tons of years of experience on stages in theater, in dance, in public speaking. And she is so well, she communicates so well. And I was intrigued by it, but I was also extremely impressed by it. And I thought, I need to be this person. Like, I need to come across like this. So I know that I can't do it like Trisha. If there is an incredibly serious topic, but every time I do it, there is something in me, but like, no, that's not you, because I never in my life, never been sitting straight up in front of a table ever. Even now, I'm sitting on one foot, and probably in 15 minutes, I will switch around the other foot. So always my knees are all over the table. So, and I realized that, oh my goodness, there is so much power in not just what we say, because of course it depends obviously on what people need to hear, your messaging and blah, 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 blah. We can speak about it in a moment, but as well as this physical expression of yourself, like this, the mimics and the how you say certain words, etc. So there is so much to it. And I think we are putting ourselves really into so small boxes if we try to be somebody else or think we need to behave in a certain way, like,
Yes.
put on that makeup. I don't know, wear proper clothes, whatever, but I still believe that I'm making money with no proper pants on. So,
Yeah. But
you
like, it's
gotta be
okay.
yourself, kind of. So, How do you go about the professionalism aspect? Like, obviously, running a business is a serious thing. I like to, I mean, there is behind the scenes serious stuff going on, and I think the content doesn't always have to represent it. And specifically, if we speak about branding, how much, in your opinion, Abby, I don't know, silliness, fun, etc., should we, can we incorporate?
Yeah, I mean it totally depends on the person, obviously, and the brand and what their goals are, but I am all about infusing more personality into websites. That's one of my biggest things, and content, online presence in general, your brand, everything. And one of the ways I see this come across a lot is people are afraid to use color. They're afraid to, like, maybe they really, really love bright colors, but they think it's not luxury or high ticket enough, and so then they like don't want to use them in their branding or on their website because they're afraid that it's going to come across the wrong way or anything like that. So that's one of my biggest things I love to help people with is I'm like, we can do color and it can be high end. Like those two things don't have to be opposites. They can both work at the same time. And so,
If it's colorful, it's not a candy shop necessarily.
yeah. I mean, I just did a redesign for a wedding photographer who is a high-end photographer out here, and her website has so much color on it because she loves color. Like, that's one of her biggest things. And it was just about, like, it's just about finding the right balance and making sure it works, but allowing that to actually come through more. Like, if you're fun and silly, like, you want people to see that in your brand, in your website. Like, they shouldn't be surprised when they meet you to see how different you are. Like, they shouldn't feel like you're different from what they see online versus like talking to you on a call. And that was something I had experienced initially with my own business, was like people would like get on a call with me or meet me in person and they'd be like, oh my gosh, you're so much more fun and like lively and like have all this energy that like wasn't coming across in my content or anything like that. And so it's a process of figuring out what parts of you do you want to show? Because you don't have to show all of you, but it is really important that people at least get a sense for your vibe and your personality so that then that's what they connect to. You know, there's a million and one brand and web designers out there. There's a million photographers, business coaches, whatever. Like the reason someone works with you is because of you. So the more personality, the more fun, playful silliness, if that's in you, like let that come through so that people can latch onto it. They'll connect with it and that's part of the reason they're going to choose to work with you. It's not necessary, like it is, obviously because of your results and your work and everything like that, but it's also because of who you are as a person. Being a business is such a personal thing and you have to allow that to shine through a little bit. So I'm all for it. I love working with color. It's one of my favorite things to do with brands and websites and content and helping people see that it is possible.
I think if somebody would have told me years ago that actually building a business is more identity works, and specifically in service providers and in the digital space, the way we are doing it, I'm not quite sure if I would have hopped on that train that easily, because I think being present publicly. If we could, I believe if we could hide behind the logo, all these colors or choices, let's say, the wording, etc., would be so much easier. But then everything as a personal brand is related to your name. Everything is related to your face. And suddenly you are a public figure, if you want or not. The moment you open up that account, Instagram account or any social media account, and you say public, you are exposed to the public. And I do believe as well that we were taught that, being public on its own is already something that is supposed, not supposed to be really, because look at me, I want to be seen and et cetera, I want to show stuff. So this is number one thing. The second thing is one of my favorite words that I try avoiding, and I would like to have a conversation on this with you, is authenticity in branding. Like, what is authenticity for you? And how much of authenticity do you implement? Because I do have a very specific thought that I would like to share, and I would like to have this conversation because I think it's very important and misleading too.
Yeah, I would agree. I feel like authentic is a word that's overused a lot. I mean, I use it when I'm talking about like online presence and things like that because it is I feel like one of the only real terms to use, but it is overused, and I think there is a lot of misconceptions. Like one of the things I always say too is that I help people be bold their way. And bold also is another one of those words that has these connotations that people think it's one thing, but it can be anything. It needs to be unique to you, and allowing your real, like, genuine self to come through. And yeah, I feel like authenticity, people think it's something it's not, or they think then that becomes something that they try to be, you know, versus it just like actually being who they are. It's like another, you know, trying to be professional. Like, you know, it's like, oh, we're trying to be authentic, but it's like, no, you actually like you can just be you, and that's enough. And I find that that's one of the hardest things, which is why, yeah, like the mindset piece and working on that with my clients is really important part of allowing that to shine through, because then you can feel comfortable doing it, but it takes some work to get there.
It takes some work. Like often, like if somebody would have asked me 4 years ago, what is authentic to me? I wouldn't even know how where to start thinking about that word specifically, as I never have gave it a thought. How much do you recommend giving away from private and personal life when building a brand?
That is such a personal thing. And I don't try to tell, you know, like have blanket rules. And that's kind of like across the board for content creation. I try not to be like, oh, you have to do things a certain way all the time, because it's so unique to every person. And like, I'm really comfortable sharing, you know, a lot of my private life. And I know a lot of people that aren't. So it's about balancing the two and finding the right like combination of things for you. And even if you don't feel like showing a lot of your private life, like showing up personally as yourself and still giving a little bit of insight, even if it's just saying, you know, like what you're doing for the day for work, like that feels private to someone, even if it's you not like, you know, showing your kids or your family or anything like that. Like, you don't have to do that to be showing up personably. You can also just like show up as yourself and not have to share those parts that you want to keep private if you don't want to. But it's such a personal thing for, and everybody I've worked with has a different idea of what that feels like for them.
What's private and what's not? Yeah. What are you sharing personally?
I mean, I share like a lot about my fiance and I were getting married in September, so talk about that. People love wedding stuff.
Oh, and it's cool. Like, honestly, like, I'm personally not married, but I think I'm digging wedding dresses since I can think and watching these stories and this whole preparation because I just think it's beautiful. So, definitely, I agree.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
so fun. People love it. And you know, I have like dog. We have two dogs and two cats. So people love to see them, and we work out a lot. My fiance is a physical therapist and like trainer, so we train together. And so you know, I show those parts of my life, but and you know, my family too. Like when I go and visit or travel, those are things that I share as well. And that's a great thing, I think, that people can share too. Like if you don't want to share your family, like show what you're out doing. Like that's a great way of sharing something personal that doesn't like have to feel private. And yeah, so I would say that those are the main things. But I'm pretty open on my Instagram. Most people can like get a feel for what I'm up to and who I'm with and what I'm doing most of the time.
Yeah, I had an impression sometimes when I used to share a lot from my private life, which I also do. I share about my lifestyle. I share where I go out, sports, etc. But I stopped to I minimized it for the sake of not to oversharing my private life, but because at some point I ended up being in a space where I have to share everything and don't miss out on this fine dining experience because this is what people would expect. People love food too, by the way. If you
Yes, they
get like
do.
honestly, this is so cool and I personally love it, like because it's pretty for the eye. I enjoy food in good company. I would make the photos, but not every single dinner I go for because this is also my experience. So I tried at some point to keep things like that somewhat private to myself because I got myself into a space of having to photograph freaking everything. And this is where social media becomes extremely stressful and is also very disruptive every time you are with family and friends on the table. So I always like my recommendation would be, if it comes to private life, to, do it in blogs, like capture stuff and then share it with the people, because it doesn't matter if it's 3 years old, because honestly,
Yeah,
in the
they don't
moment,
care.
sometimes
They
I don't
won't
even
know.
have a moment to think about, sharing something, because life is busy. And
I always do that. So on the weekends, I'm off my social accounts, and then I just if I want to capture something, like I'll take a picture or a video or whatever, and then I just share it as like a recap on Monday. Like that way I'm, protecting my time with my loved ones and have that freedom from social media without having to, because I was getting into a similar kind of thing where I was like, oh, taking a photo and then posting it right away on my stories and stuff. And I'm like, and then you kind of feel like you're so attached to it. It's almost like a toxic relationship. And it's just like, I don't want to be doing this, but I feel like I have to be doing this. So it's about finding a balance. But yeah, for me, it was that was a big change I did, is like, okay, over the weekends, I don't even go on my Instagram like at all. And I post about it later. And that's a great way too, because a lot of people take breaks on the weekends anyway. So it's not something that like feels like you have to show up all the time. I'm super active on stories, but not a lot of people are. And I find that for me, I had to kind of consolidate things too. Like I'll like sh get on in the morning or in the afternoon, like, and like post a few things back to back instead of like doing it multiple times throughout the day, because that was also kind of draining my energy, like in a similar way where I was like distract, and then you log on to Instagram to post the one story and you get stuck scrolling for a couple minutes and you're like, no, this is not what I was here for. Let me go refocus again. It's so easy to get distracted. So yeah, batching those was really, really a helpful tool for me. And I like to, instead of having to feel like I have to show all parts of my day, I just like will like put a photo from like my morning or my afternoon or whatever, and I just like will say what I've done that day. And that's a really great way of showing up on your stories, telling people what you're up to without having to show them every single step of the way.
I mean, absolutely. Just imagine waking up and having to protocol everything. Like, it wouldn't freak me out. I mean, I always said, like, to myself as well, every time I take my phone in my hand, and usually, like, 99%, I manage not to do it in the morning during my morning coffee, unless I choose to joy scroll, because my day is anyway, sometimes I have days that are extremely, how to say, unregulated. Like, I know what I will be doing, but not exactly when. And I do it in my PJs until 12 p.m. because I have no appointments, and I have at least 1 or 2 days a week like this. And there I sometimes allow myself, to, I don't know what I do. Honestly, it's usually Beyonce and J-Lo, and I go like, joy scroll. And but this is a bit allowance and no guilt anymore. But if I have days where I really have to focus, where I need my brains, and I know that things need to be done, you won't see me on social media before noon. And every
And that's
time I take this
great.
phone in my hand, I will be like, okay, what are we doing? Like, you and
Let's
me
set
right now.
the
What is it gonna be? Are you gonna post something? Because I don't batch content. I think I'm a
Same.
content machine by now. I would love to share it more, but at some point. And then, are we going to reply to comments? Are we going to reply to DMs? Are you going to look something up? Although my collaborators, the people I work with, I prefer email correspondence because
Oh
of
yeah.
the fact that you will end up scrolling something.
Easily.
But some, you have conversations going on there. So I always, me, myself, and I, we have this conversation and try to really keep it short, because it is draining if you get down the rabbit hole and then you're done with the day, basically. So I
Yeah, you're
highly
so
recommend.
distracted and it's hard to get refocused once you've become distracted that way, for sure. And yeah, I feel like it's a normal thing. But I love what you said about like setting, having that intentional time. Like, it's okay if you want to go on and scroll. There's no shame in doing that, but like be intentional about it. Go on there and be like, I'm just here just to have a little bit of fun, watch some reels, whatever. And like allowing that to be intentional. But like when it impacts your life where you're like logging in to do something and then you get distracted, that's where it really becomes like a, yeah, maybe we don't need it. We need to maybe set some better boundaries here. And it's
Yeah, and
hard.
time
I
flies.
mean, I do it all the time, but yeah, it's tricky.
Plus, it is addictive. It is activity,
Yes.
you can't lie. And this being our new work, I think unfortunately nobody's teaching you that. Nobody, you know, world shouts like you gotta be on there all the time, you need to respond to comments immediately and response time matters. I do agree with all of that, but honestly, what really matters is my sanity before I, because I do feel, I don't know if you feel that too, and I think everybody listening to this, like if you had a joy scroll day, like if, you know, when you fucked up and you spend your day on social media, I don't sleep at night.
No, it's so much. I find that it disconnects you from like your own inner magic and intuition. And that's why, never, never consume or scroll before creating content. That's like a recipe for disaster. You're not gonna come up with any good ideas. Like, nothing is gonna feel like it's actually within you, like it's coming from you. It's gonna be very externally influenced. And so that's, yeah, a big thing. But for sure, me too. Like, and that, so I, yeah, I have boundaries about like not being on my phone in the evenings and stuff like that too. Because, yeah, like if I've spent all day getting distracted, first off, I like make myself feel bad for not being as productive as I should have been, which is like another rabbit hole you could easily go down. And then, like, yeah, I'm worried about things more. I don't sleep as well. Like, there's so much. That's why, yeah, social media is such a, a tricky game to play. And that's why I focus so much on wanting to help women make it feel good for them. Because as a business owner, like, you can't get away from having to show up on social media. Like, it's just, that's just a part of the world we live in. And a lot of people like struggle with that and kind of despise that. And, you know, we've all had our love-hate relationship with it. And so that's why it's really about finding ways that feel good for you and practices that feel good for you and boundaries and stuff like that in order to actually like thrive on there.
Thank you for pointing that out. I see that too. I mean, there is no way around it, but we still haven't learned to live with it. So I think it's a practice game, and it needs to be unique because following all these rules, it just might apply to someone. Honestly, some people are more flexible than I am. I'm highly sensitive and I can't handle it. And I won't be forcing myself to do so. Otherwise, I'm taking away the joy of it. And so far, honestly, I do enjoy it. I love
That's
Instagram.
good. I'm glad because not a people, a lot of people see that.
You know, we are somewhere also teaching it somewhere. So I would be so wrong, Abby, if you wouldn't be enjoying it and teaching people to enjoy, right? So I think we found joy in that, but it was a long road.
It
Didn't
is. It's
happen
a
overnight.
process. Absolutely.
Before we dive in into strategy, which I would love to speak about with you, I also that effect that you mentioned, saying that I do not joy scroll or look at other people's accounts before I create, because you set yourself up for a disaster. It is true, because they're like, you might think you have a unique thought, which might super be unique, honestly, might be unique to you. And I just put recently something out there about procrastination, and I said that I cracked the procrastination code by putting it simply at 12:30 into my calendar, because at some point after 30 minutes, I get fed up with myself and move on anyways. And then guess what happened? I joy scroll, I think 2 days later, and Valeria Lipovetsky shares the same something similar about procrastination. And I was like, no, really? I mean, obviously there are so many creators out there, and of course it's not the same wording, not the same voice, not the same let's say result wanted with that piece of content. But still, in a moment, I was thinking, imagine now me seeing this before having it created myself. I wouldn't have done it because I would have
No.
copycat it. But it is obvious that we are human beings. We are working in the same creator space. So at some point, we might have the same thoughts. So
For sure.
I even recommend not looking at industry-like creators. I
Oh
try to avoid that.
yeah, don't follow people in your same industry, or if you follow them, like to be supportive, like mute them so that you don't see their content. Because yeah, that's another great like avenue into feeling terrible about yourself and not thinking you're good at anything and comparing yourself. Comparisonitis is the one of the other worst things about social media. So yeah, I definitely don't get on social media before you actually make the content. Just do it when you're posting it, because otherwise, yeah, you'll probably see something similar and then feel like, oh, I'm not gonna say it as good as them, or whatever. And then maybe you won't get to share what was a really, special idea for you, something that was actually like true to you, that you genuinely cared about sharing. And so, yeah, I feel like you just gotta be better about that. I know everybody has to, everybody I've talked to.
Absolutely. Let's talk content strategy. How do you go about content strategy? How do you help people strategize and show them what to share, when, and how?
So I like to use, I think it's five different pillars of like actual, like, whatever the, content pillars, content themes, whatever you want to call them. And that is not like to feel restricted by. For me, it's more just like a way of like organizing my thoughts and making sure that as I'm planning content, it's like it is at least balanced throughout the week, throughout the month. I love to start by brain dumping ideas. Just get, go out on a walk. This is my favorite way, is go out on a walk with nothing, no podcast, no talking, nothing. Like just you and your thoughts. Voice note yourself some ideas, go home, brain dump everything that comes through, because that is where you're actually like allowing your genuine ideas out. And we don't often give ourselves the space to be able to have those ideas come through. They're there. People who say that they don't have ideas for social media just haven't given themselves the opportunity and the time and the space for their brain to give them the ideas that are actually in them. So yeah, I love brain dumping and then organizing those into like the kinds of content themes that I have. And I also like to make sure to check in with like myself and my clients about like what is the most important conversations you want to be leading. Like, what do you want to be known for? What topics are like you really passionate about that you want people to be like, this is what she talks about. This is who, like, if you think of, showing up boldly online, like, I hope people think of me, because that's like something I talk about so much. And so knowing those in addition to like the content themes is helpful for organizing your ideas. And I like to just kind of like put them in the different buckets that they go in. And then I just make sure that I'm hitting one of every content theme or conversation topic every week. I post a lot, probably 4 or 5 times a week. Not everybody can do that. So it depends, obviously, on like how much capacity you have and stuff like that. But making sure you're getting a nice balance of promotional, of authority building, of value giving, of, spicy like activation, stuff like that. Those are the ones that you really want to make sure that you know what the goal is for each of those and how you're going to be guiding people through like your process. But I like to plan for the month, but I don't ahead of time. I like to allow the inspiration to come up that day. So I have the idea already preset, because then that takes one idea or one like action that I have to do each day off the table, which makes creating way easier because I know what I'm going to be creating about, but I don't hold myself to that. If I have a new idea pop in and I want to make a reel about it, then I just do it and I allow that to be okay. And that idea goes back in the bank and I'll use it another day. I'm not strict about it because I like to feel into the flow of things and into what feels good to me that day, what I'm really passionate about talking about right then. But having the like kind of month sort of planned out is really helpful for me. One thing I've been doing recently is just having like a similar type of post each day of the week. So like Mondays, I always share like a brand or web design project and or something along that line. And then Tuesdays, I always have something for my podcast. And Wednesdays, I always provide value. And Thursdays, I do like lifestyle kind of content and or dancing, because I dance a lot on my social media. But that way, like having it where I'm like, okay, I know specifically what I'm going to be posting this week. So even if it's not planned, I know what type of content I should be creating that day. And it makes it just the less decisions you can make in the day, the easier it is to create content, I find. Just having that one little piece done already makes makes your life easier.
Absolutely. I mean, there is thousands way to go about it. I remember there was a time that was so strictly, you were hearing everywhere that you need to batch it and it takes you only 2 hours, where I'm like, I'm
What,
not sure
since
about
when?
that, especially when you're starting. So I would say, to summarize what you're saying, so I think once you know what you want to say, right? Because it's, I think we need to make the difference between figuring out what to post at all. I think this is the pre-work so many people like to skip for whatever freaking reason that I do not understand why. Like, do the work first because it will simply resolve everything for you. If you know who you're speaking, if you know what you want to be known for, if you know in what phase you currently are, like, I don't know, are you growing your email list? Are you launching a product? Like, if we know all of that, and then when you said go for a walk and just let it be and don't restrict yourself to the idea, but more to the theme, that sounds like heaven to me. Because
It
then you
just feels way
know.
more freeing.
And it's not as strict as it seems sometimes. Like,
People make it harder than it needs to be. And it's just, like all these rules out in the world. I'm like, you guys, who set these rules? Who decided this was the way you had to do it? Like, that's why I'm so, I focus so heavily with my clients on doing things that are aligned for them and their values and their business and their time and everything that feels good because. Who can like even if, okay, so if I posted three reels a week, I probably wouldn't have an account like the people who say to post three reels a week or whatever or a day. And so it's like you can't listen to all of the noise out there. You have to find just a process that feels good to you. And just know, like you said, like know, like, okay, what offers am I promoting this month? That's a really helpful thing to know whenever you're setting out for the month. Like, do I have any launches? Do I need to promote my freebie? When was the last time I talked about my freebie? Like, most of the time, people don't promote their stuff enough. So, that is something I do like kind of push my clients on is like, okay, it's okay to like talk about your stuff more often and include that in your content. It's not, but there are like, there is strategy and like reasons behind the different types of content you're creating because one is to attract new people, one is to nurture the people you have, another is to actually sell, you know, there are reasoning behind them. So there is like, strategy, but at the same time, as long as you're kind of focusing your content in those sorts of veins and not like restricting yourself to whatever else is out there, then you're gonna be just fine.
And I also want to mention here at some point, like, you know exactly the goal, what it's going to be. Let's say you want to post top funnel content and you want to have like new followers, or just like to open up that funnel a little bit to get some people in. And then in the end, when I have finished that piece and I wrote a caption, and my brain, my whole body is screaming for get my freebie, because it just ended up to be a middle funnel content for whatever reason, or a little mix from it, because often we cannot really make these strict boundaries. Because I, like, when I speak about, depending on what part of my story I speak, it leads either into a freebie, it leads into a form of
Absolutely.
inspiration, or in a form of this is how you run your business or how you build your business. So sometimes this mixes up, but I give myself full allowance to do it anyway,
Yeah. For sure, because
instead of
I
falling
mean,
to
part of
truth.
nurturing is, like you're telling your story, you're talking about what your experiences, that's naturally going to lead to something you've created to help people through those experiences too, you know. It is natural. Yeah, like you said, you can't separate things out. And I think that's what kind of slows people down is they feel like they have to follow rules to be so specifically only attracting new people and so specifically, you know, nurturing them and selling. And it's like all of those do, you know, kind of flow together. It's just that some types of content work better for attracting versus selling and things like that. But there's nothing wrong with allowing it to all be there, you know, just like
I
it's,
love how you put this. I love how you put this. Like, some types are working better to do XYZ, but it doesn't mean that the other type won't do the same. Love that.
Absolutely. Because you're not always 100% sure, but it's helpful for me at least when I'm planning to be like, okay, I'm creating value content because I want that. Like, my goal is for someone to save this, you know, like having the even those specific, like, okay, the goal for this one is for people to follow. The goal for this one is for people to comment and create conversations. And then this one is to click a link. Like, those having that while I'm creating the content is helpful for me too, because then I know where to direct the caption and what the goal is with that. So writing the caption becomes easier too.
Thank you for all this valuable information. I think also the way you put it is so simple to understand and easy to follow. So this is definitely something we will be doing here and, you know, not making our lives difficult because there is other things we can crack our head about.
Yes.
So Evie, tell me, how did you get into doing what you are doing?
Oh yeah. Good question. So I was on the yearbook in high school and college, and in college it's a paid gig. And I was editor in chief both 2 years in college. I did it in high school as well. And that was where I learned all of my like a lot of design skills and like got the basics for that. We did a lot of like classes and learning and everything. And that's where I learned like the Adobe Creative Cloud and everything, even from high school. So I've been doing that work for forever. And then in college, that's where I really learned even more about going from this bigger picture, because a yearbook is huge, you know, it's 300 plus pages. In college, it's so massive. And like knowing what that bigger picture is, breaking it down into smaller pieces, setting the design elements, working on the copy. That's a lot of what I do with like brands and websites now, is like identifying those pieces. So the yearbook did a lot for me and also grew my love for design. And I Then, because I was getting a degree in dance, I knew that that wasn't going to pay the bills. It was just what I loved and what I wanted to do. And so, as I was a professional dancer outside of college, I started doing work like graphic design, web design, brand design work for other companies, like freelancing. So, I've been freelancing doing that sort of work for over 10 years, and I've been in the design and marketing world for over a decade. And I started with social media right after college. I interned at a magazine, got a lot of experience there, and then worked in it. So a lot of my stuff is self-taught, but it's also like I've done a lot of the, you know, courses and learning and all of that stuff too. And then it just kind of developed from there. I was always freelancing on the side of whatever job I had and dancing. And then when the pandemic hit, I was like not dancing anymore. I wasn't hired at my job anymore. And then the only thing I still had left was my freelance design clients. And my fiance was like, oh, well, you know, why don't you turn this into something real. Like, go ahead and try. You're not like, because I was applying to other jobs, but I always knew I wasn't made for like a 9-to-5 job. That's just not my personality. And especially with dance, that wasn't really possible. And so I had been applying to them and none of it was really working out. And I didn't really want to do them. And he was like, why don't you just try? Like, what is there to lose? And so, yeah, I started my business at the end of 2021 and have loved it ever since.
Lovely, and I'm great you did. Otherwise, we wouldn't have met here. It's a
Yeah.
selfish thought, but I have to say, it was meant to be this way. Same here. Couldn't imagine myself going back to the 9-to-5 anymore. And now I have my explanation. I'm like, when you do your content and you literally you do dance a lot in your content, I'm like, how can she do this? Because I'm also dancing, but not as a professional, and I'm not dancing on social media. I said I would never do that because honestly, like to. You know, to rehearse my choreography would take more time than the actual piece of content is worth. So
Well,
I said, like,
that's
I don't know.
yeah. So I will say I have been on a journey because when I first started my business, I was, you know, in that phase of worrying about judgment and all this stuff. So I would like plan the piece of content, like what the dance was going to be. I would get all ready and it would take so much time. So I got away from it for a while. And then I was like, why am I doing all of this? I literally like what I post for dancing now is literally like almost every day I am in my room dancing for at least, you know, 5, 10 minutes, just improving. So I just record that now and I just cut it into pieces and I use that as content. So it's like I don't plan it anymore. It's much more like true to me and it just is whatever happens in the moment. And it's so much faster, obviously. But like that in itself was a lesson in being true to me and not worrying about judgment and things like that. And that process was, yeah, a big journey for me in terms of letting go of just being like, well, I'm already doing this. I may as well use it as a part of my content because it is who I am. Like I'm always going to be a dancer.
Absolutely. And I love watching it, honestly. It's cool. So guys, on Instagram, Abby Bradovich, Go follow her. You will find the link in the show notes and any other link that the way you can connect and look at Abby's work will be there too. If you enjoyed this conversation, you find it helpful, you learned something, don't hesitate to share it with someone who needs to hear it. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, comment on Spotify, because only if we know if this was helpful, we can create more of it. And this is what we are here for. And Abby, before we round up this conversation, I would love to know from you. How would you like to spend your old years?
Ooh, my old years. Ooh, that's a good question.
I guess dancing.
I mean, yeah, I will always be dancing. I don't think that'll ever go away. Yeah, and just I feel like just doing things that feel good to me and that bring me joy. I am on a journey every day to do more of what feels good to me and brings me joy, and I think that's just the best way I can spend my life, and that's what I want to be doing all of my life. And that would be a perfect way, even if it's still working or if it's traveling or whatever it is, like as long as I'm enjoying it and it lights me up, that's really all I care about.
I'm excited to see where this journey brings you. The journey of joy. I love that. Thank you for sharing, and thank you for being an incredible guest on the show today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.